Delora Bertelson was raised in Springville, Utah. She earned a bachelor's degree in history and political science and a master's degree in public administration, both from BYU. Life has given her many interesting and challenging opportunities. She served a full-time mission in Paris, France, where she developed a great love for the French people and culture. In Washington, D.C., she worked at the Supreme Court of the United States, where she gained a greater respect for American government and law. Upon her return to Utah, Sister Bertelson worked in BYU's College of Business Graduate School of Management, which is, as you know, now the Marriott School of Management. She joined Human Resources Services in 1995 as the Equal Opportunity Manager and currently serves as the Managing Director of Employee Relations, Equal Opportunity and Benefit Services. Sister Bertelson has always been active in her community. She has been a city council member and served as mayor of Springville. Her current volunteer endeavors include being chair of the Springville Arts Commission. She was recently released as primary president after serving 5.5 years in that capacity. Currently, she is an instructor in the Relief Society and a visiting teacher. In addition to her friends and extended family, she has a poodle, 2 cats, and 5 sheep. And now we'll have the opportunity of hearing from Sister Delora Bertelson.
I want to wish you all good morning and to say how fortunate we are to be here together. This is a real privilege for me to share my thoughts with you this morning. When Brother Skousen called me, I thought about any number of things that are reasons why he would be calling. Giving a devotional talk was the furthest thing from my mind, but here I am. From the introduction, you know that I was recently released as a primary president, one of the choicest callings in the church from my standpoint. And at this point, I can guarantee you that doing sharing time in primary is a lot less intimidating and stressful than standing before you this morning. Brother Skousen encouraged me to talk about my work in human resources. That's working with the people who make up the campus community. Hopefully what I share with you this morning will give you pause to think about the brothers and sisters who serve you every day and your responses to them. These remarks will take experiences from my time as a student, my time in human resources, and my time as primary president. I do thank the music people for the opening song, and I would ask you to keep its words in mind as I speak this morning. In human resources, we have as a mission to promote a work and learning environment that helps BYU and the campus community to be the best they can be. This means we work within a framework of the gospel and professional guidelines with the hope of helping those with whom we interact, including students, to be happy and productive in life and in the workplace. My thoughts today will center on how you and I treat those human resources who make BYU's an environment a wonderful place to study and to work. At this point, I would like to pose for you several questions. The first one being, why are you here? Certainly, one reason is to get an education in an environment of positive gospel values. People in general have a desire to be with those who believe as they do and with people who have similar values. In our case, yours and mine, we want to learn and to work in an environment where religious beliefs are blended with secular learning. The prophet Jacob in the Book of Mormon gives a reason for wanting to be together in such an environment. In Jacob 2:8, he says, "And it supposes me that they have come hither to hear the pleasing word of God, yea, the word which healeth the wounded soul." Now, I don't think you are wounded in the literal sense of the word, but it is truly a blessing to come to BYU where you can learn, participate, and for many of you, work in an environment that allows you to hear the pleasing word of God. What a great strength comes from that opportunity alone. My next question is, how do you and I show appreciation and gratitude to those who provide services for us? And to continue with those questions, do we follow our Savior's admonition that we love one another, that we do unto others as we would have done unto us? And how do we express appreciation for those things we seem to assume are rightfully ours? Primary children love stories, and so do adults, I find. So here's the first story of the morning, and this story comes from my days as student. Hopefully at its finish, its purpose will become clear. I remember coming here as a freshman to live in Heritage Halls and to study and to make new friends. But during the summer, I was a commuter student, and every morning as I drove past a wonderful garden at the corner of 9th East and Sander Street in Provo, I would admire the flowers and the vegetables, and the thought would pass through my mind, I really ought to stop and tell that man how much pleasure his garden gives to me. For 3 summers, I made the same drive and had the same thought. That garden brightened my day and brought joy to me. And then one day, the Daily Herald in Provo had a special feature on the gardener. It was on the obituary page. I never had the opportunity to thank him for the pleasure his garden had given me. I vowed at that time to let people know how they brightened my life. As you leave this devotional today, I would encourage you to look at the beautiful grounds that BYU's human resources in the grounds department have developed to create an environment that is conducive to learning and to working. Have you ever said thank you or I appreciate your efforts to make campus beautiful for me to one of the grounds crew? It takes but a moment. And don't lose that opportunity to recognize the efforts of so many to make life pleasant for you. There are others on campus who quietly and efficiently go about their work assignments in order to make life pleasant and the environment welcoming to those who learn and work here. Have you ever smiled at or thanked or acknowledged the dining services people who serve you lunch or snacks? Have you ever appreciated the custodial staff members who work early and late to keep campus buildings clean and welcoming? There's always a danger of mentioning specific areas on campus because someone will be forgotten. For example, all the people in physical facilities, the workers in admissions and records, the library staff, the health center staff, the moving staff, the press people, the bookstore, and I could go on naming the human resources found on this campus for quite some time. All of these brothers and sisters, full-time and students, are here to make campus a place to hear the pleasing word of God and a place to learn those secular things that will help to make each of us productive and worthy of the blessings we receive. As members of the church, we have been given guidelines on how we should treat each other. When the prophet Alma, as recorded in Mosiah 28, 8 and 11, was preaching privately to the people, he reminded them of the responsibilities incumbent upon those who sought baptism. He set forth criteria for those who wanted to be part of the fold of God and to be called his people. They included to be willing to bear one another's burdens that they might be light, to mourn with those who mourn, to comfort those who stand in need of comfort, and to stand as witnesses of God at all times. The reward for them would be to be redeemed of God and numbered with those of the first resurrection. I love the response of those who accepted his invitation to be baptized and would hope that each one of us could and would respond in a similar manner. Verse 11 says, "And now, when the people had heard these words, they clapped their hands for joy and exclaimed, 'This is the desire of our hearts.'" As members of the BYU community, you and I are blessed in many ways. We may not have an opportunity to bear each other's burdens or to have to mourn with those who mourn or to provide comfort in the same manner as those Book of Mormon people. But on a smaller scale, you and I have an opportunity to help a classmate or a roommate who is struggling. We can help a co-worker who is ill or who is facing, appears to be facing, odds that are insurmountable. we certainly can all stand as witnesses for our Heavenly Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. And I would hope that in so doing, we would feel the same joy and want to clap our hands to affirm the joy we feel from actively supporting each other in our efforts to gain an education and to become more Christ-like in our behavior toward one another. Other very important BYU human resources are the faculty members who are here to help guide and direct your studies. Many have come to BYU out of a love of teaching and a sincere desire to be part of the BYU mission to prepare young people to be successful in their lives and careers. They appreciate the opportunity to teach at a university where the gospel can be shared openly and without fear of offending someone. I would like to share with you the story of one professor who left an indelible impression on me, one that lingers today after my college days. His name is Christian Jensen. He was the son of Danish immigrants who struggled to give their son an education. As a history major, I had the privilege to take a constitutional history class from this man, who was already a legend on campus. He was nearing the end of a very long and serviceful career. He had been acting president of the university twice. He had served as dean of the graduate school and was acting dean of two colleges. He actively served in the church, and he was a kind husband and father. Dr. Jensen would come to class and sit down at the head of the table in the dean's conference room in the old Joseph Smith building. And he would discuss, talk, ask questions, and develop thought processes for an hour without benefits of book or notes. His face radiated a joy in teaching and sharing that was easily apparent. Time in that class passed so quickly that it was hard to realize the class time was over. One faculty member said of Dr. Jensen, "I think we have never had a more loyal and devoted supporter of great music and important lectures than the beloved Christian Jensen." His obituary in the Deseret News said, "The natural kindness of Christian Jensen, his love for young people, his ready sympathy and devotion to learning are characteristics for which this good man will long be remembered." Does this description bring to mind the Savior's admonition to love one another and to serve one another? Dr. Jensen gave me a love of learning for which I will be eternally grateful. To this day, I hope I thanked him appropriately. Today, I acknowledge by my words all of those men and women who opened my mind and soul to the joys of learning, including those with whom I have worked and do work today. I am sure that each one of you has had or will have a similar experience. My challenge to you is to review carefully your opportunities to interact with these men and women who are prepared to share with you their love of learning and their joy in teaching. A verbal thank you is always appreciated, as are sincerely written notes at the end of class. These are recognitions of their service and support of you as a student. Now, having shared some thoughts about those who educate and those who support those efforts, I would turn to you and your experiences on campus and you as a human resource. The BYU Honor Code says that students and personnel will seek to demonstrate the moral values encompassed in the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is a big challenge. In primary, the children sing a song that emphasizes this, and it's called "The Church of Jesus Christ," and it goes, "I belong to the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. I know who I am. I know God's plan. I'll follow Him in faith. I believe in the Savior Jesus Christ. I'll honor His name. I'll do what is right. I'll follow His light. His truth I will proclaim." Knowing who you are is very important, and it brings obligations not only to help others, to appreciate them, to serve them, but also to follow Christ's example in all ways possible. And understanding of that makes each person as an individual a better person and one worthy to receive the promised blessings from Heavenly Father. The poet John Donne proclaimed that no one is an island entire of itself. He explained that there is a unity that makes people part of a whole. And from my perspective, that means being part of the family of our Heavenly Father. As children of our Heavenly Father, we, you and I, understand the need to share with others and to serve others and to be part of the whole. President N. Eldon Tanner, on a number of occasions, made the comment that service is the rent we pay for living on this earth. And King Benjamin reminds us in the Book of Mormon that when we are in the service of our fellow men, we are only in the service of our God. Another wonderful quote comes from Elder Sterling W. Sill when he explained our obligation to serve each other. He said, "That man loves God who puts his own life in harmony with him and who serves his fellow men as though his life depended upon it, as indeed it does." The author, George Eliot, made a brief statement that I have posted on the bin above my desk, and it says, "What do we live for if it is not to make life less difficult to others?" Hopefully, while you are at BYU, you will gain a greater appreciation of service and what is expected by our Heavenly Father as He interacts with His children, wherever and whoever they may be. In the Equal Opportunity Office, we work with the laws of the land, particularly Title VII of the Civil Rights Act and its amendments. These laws establish certain protected categories of people who must be treated fairly and where discrimination should not occur. These include race, color, ethnicity, gender, religion, age, and disability. The things that sometimes make people appear different. It seems obvious that everyone deserves to be treated fairly, but in some places and situations, this is not the case. As children of our Heavenly Father, we should know that how we treat each other is very important in His eyes. All of His children deserve respect, kindness, and love. Elder Jeffrey R. Holland shared some thoughts on our behavior with others in the recent April conference. He said, "Our words, like our deeds, should be filled with faith, hope, and charity. With such words spoken under the influence of the Spirit, tears can be dried, hearts can be healed, lives can be elevated, hope can return, and confidence can prevail." He warned against cold, caustic, and unbridled words, and he counseled each one of us about how we should treat each other. In the Employee Relations Office and Equal Opportunity Office, we work occasionally with people who, in the heat of the moment, have said words that have hurt, wounded, and chilled others. Once those words have been said, it is difficult to recall them. To help mend those relationships is also a challenge. We also work with others who have said demeaning and hurtful words to friends and coworkers. I remember working with one young woman who was offended and could not understand why she was receiving inappropriate, aggressive emails and telephone calls from some of her male friends. She questioned why they would think she would appreciate receiving these less than polite emails and calls. When I visited with the young men, they thought they were just joking and thought she would enjoy receiving these edgy messages. Messages that really sounded like they came from bad TV shows or B-movies. They said it was because of the way she had behaved earlier. Both sides realized that in their behavior toward one another, they had crossed over the line of appropriateness and had not followed the counsel of Latter-day Prophets and the Savior regarding the treatment of others. In this same conference, President Hinckley gave counsel in the priesthood session. As he spoke of his concerns about today's trend toward inappropriate behavior and casual, edgy language, he said, A filthy mind expresses itself in filthy and profane language. A clean mind expresses itself in the language that is positive and uplifting, and in deeds that bring happiness to the heart. Just because the idols in today's world use language and behaviors that are less than civil or appropriate, that is no reason young people or members of the church should be caught in that web of actions that offend and hurt others. On numerous occasions, President Hinckley has counseled members regarding civility in the treatment of others. In his book, Standing for Something, 10 Neglected Virtues, he notes that civility is one of those virtues that is often neglected and forgotten by people and or students today as they interact with each other. Sometimes people today have an in-your-face attitude and language that are destructive and harmful to others. Once again, I turn to the primary and would repeat the words of a song the children love. If on occasion you have found your language is in question or ugly thoughts come to your mind, then here's a good suggestion. Just hum your favorite hymn. Sing out with vigor and vim. Before you say an angry word, remember you'll regret it. For once it's said, the harm is done, and some folks won't forget it. Just hum your favorite hymn. Sing out with vigor and vim, and you will find it clears your mind. Hum your favorite hymn. As you continue on your journey, your life's journey, I would encourage you to choose good mentors and strong examples to help you develop those Christ-like characteristics that the scriptures and Latter-day prophets have been so persistent in telling each of us to be mindful always of how we treat each others and how we represent the Savior. Now, one final story on the treatment of others who appear to be different. Recently, over the internet, I received a picture story called The Hippopotamus and the Tortoise. This is a true story set in Kenya, where recent storms and tsunami waves had hit the coastal region. A baby hippo had survived the waves and the storms, but had lost his mother. And after the storm, the baby hippo, nicknamed Owen, bonded with a century-old tortoise at an animal rescue facility. This particular tortoise is a giant land turtle, and Owen weighs 650 pounds. The turtle replaced Owen's mother. They swim together, they eat together, and sleep together. They have bonded and now accept each other totally. Their differences are forgotten. The email ends this way. This is a real story that shows that our differences don't matter much when we need the comfort of another. This brings us back to the scripture from Jacob, and to paraphrase what it says, we come to learn the good word of God in a good environment and to be comforted by those around us. Just like Owen, we want and need a friend, a mentor, an example, someone to help us, to love us, and hopefully we won't have to suffer a tsunami to learn how much we depend upon each other, how we should treat each other, and how we use and benefit from BYU's human resources. As I close my remarks today, it is my prayer that each one of us will remember that individually and collectively, we are children of our Heavenly Father. We are His human resources. He loves us. He expects us to accept the responsibilities that come from being brothers and sisters in the gospel. BYU is a special place where men and women can join together in an atmosphere permeated by the gospel. It is also a place where strong secular knowledge can be gained. I appreciate this opportunity to talk about BYU's human resources, about you and about me, about our friends, our roommates, and our coworkers. We are truly blessed in following the teachings of our Savior and staying true to gospel standards. We can stand as a witness of our Heavenly Father, and we can give comfort to those around us while we are learning the pleasing word of God. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.